You're going to be a tough act to follow. That was beautiful. I bring nothing new today, but I want to look back at some of the things that we believe in. It doesn't cover everything, but some core beliefs that we have in the Church of Christ that set us apart. During conference, I'll be preaching, and I've pretty much got that sermon finished. And in that, I'll be talking about, as men and women, we have opinions. And out of those opinions, we develop hopes. But we have the truth of God that sets us apart. That's what makes us different. And with the truths that God has given, we have His promises. A great many things to look forward to in the future. I'm going to ask that you turn in your Book of Mormons to Mosiah, the second chapter. And if I would ask those of you that have gray hairs like myself, what our brother Fan's favorite scripture was, you know where I'm going. Mosiah, the second chapter, and starting with verse 13. Verse 13. Believe in God. Believe that He is, and that He created all things, both in heaven and in earth. In Sunday school, I talked a little bit about that. The wrestle I had with the omnipotence of God being all-powerful, to know what my end result will be before I'm even there. He knows the beginning and end of everything that He created. But yet, in His love that He bears for each of us, in giving His Son that we might choose without sin and stay in that right path, He allows us the choice to arrive where He knows we will be. But we have to believe that God is. And in this world, that's difficult to do if you blend in with the world. In your communities, in your schools, in your places of work, where you go to have fun, in your association, to believe that God created all things in the heavens and in the earth. We look around at the world and it is in chaos. But that's not the way God created it. That's what we as men and women have done with it. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Now, when things are going right in your life and you've got a lot to smile about, to be happy about, there's a straight road to walk and no obstacles in the way, it's easy to believe that God is wise and He has power. But when things are not going your way, when you're sick, when you've been fired at work, when you've been made fun of for who you are, what you believe, what you hope in, sometimes it's not easy to give God that wisdom that He deserves and to acknowledge His power. Verse 15, believe that man doth not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. There have been points in my life, decisions to be made, when I did not know what lay on the other side. And when that happens, you must make wise choices, informed choices, but to seek God to know and to ask His direction is to overcome what we don't understand. Believe that you must repent of all your sins and forsake them. Coming into the Church of Christ, I was not a bad man, but I was certainly a man of the world. I didn't set myself apart. To come to a realization that you and I have committed sins in our life, and those sins must be taken to God, repented of. To make amends as best we can here upon earth for the wrongs that we have done. But ultimately, to receive forgiveness of our God. But there has to be a sincere heart, a humble heart. And it also says to forsake your sins, not to flirt with them, not to pick and choose when you think you are strong enough to take up your weakness and say, I can handle this. Well, I can't handle my weaknesses. I know what they are. But in the Book of Mormon, it also tells me, and it's one of my favorite scriptures, that as we give our weaknesses over to God, He makes them become a strength for us. But it's always hard to forsake sins that have been a part of our life. To humble yourselves before God, to ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now if you believe all these things, see that you do them. Once coming into that straight and narrow path, our work is not done. That path goes on until that day that we are judged and invited to enter in, sealed, incorruptible. Or our sins may weigh upon our soul, our mind, our heart, to the point that we shrink from the presence of God. And that day will come. It's in the future. Verse 21, humble yourselves even in the depths of humility, calling upon the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfastly in the faith. Sometimes it's not easy for Mike McGee to be humble. I'm a man. I have pride. I have accomplishments, but I really don't have anything. And I know you feel the same way in your life. I like that last part. Steadfastly in the faith of that which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. Mosiah, or this is King Benjamin, shares his knowledge with us. A knowledge that has came from a source very close to God Himself. Not watered down by man. Not one of man's opinion or his hope, but one of the truths of God and is full of promise. Verse 23, and you shall grow in the knowledge of the glory of Him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. In this life, I look around and we got a lot of gray hairs and some
not so gray.
Well, some not so gray. But our pursuit of God is not over. our knowledge of Him. It is to grow daily as we learn to lean upon Him and His strength. Verse 24 says we should not have a mind to injure one another. Sunday school today, we talked a little bit about forgiveness. What it is to forgive. And if God can forgive me, He can forgive anyone. But we have to keep ourselves in that right path daily to live peacefully. If we are to judge one another, has to be according to the Word of God, and to measure the fruit that a woman or a man brings in their pursuit of life. We can judge the fruit, but not the person. That's up to God. 17, if you believe all these things, see that you do them. Let's turn to Daniel, the second chapter. Daniel, the second chapter, and verses 28 through 36. And you know the story of Daniel that was selected to interpret a dream that a powerful king had. Verse 28, but there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar, which shall be in the latter days, thy dream. And the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And he goes on to talk about this dream that the king had. Thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this is Daniel speaking, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mayest know the thoughts of thy heart. It was a dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. He saw an image. He didn't know what it meant. But in that image, it encompassed a date. It encompassed the form, the appendages that made up that image. And in the dream, it was revealed that they were nations that would exist. And that there would be a stone cut out of a mountain without hands. A small stone, but that stone would break this mighty image of gold, of silver, of iron, of clay. It would reduce nations to nothing. Kings would lose their throne, but this stone would never be taken away. It would encompass the whole world. Verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. It's going to take place. Nothing can keep it from happening. And it came into being. You're studying the early church history. And you know that date was 1830. You know it was established according to the laws of the land on April 6th. And you proclaim that church right outside that door, Church of Christ. Your purpose, to worship God. Your times of assembly, and that you welcome all visitors to come and to learn. Very simple truth, but they hold the promises of God. Sister wanted to know when Solemn Assembly, when Sacrament Sunday, when the church business would begin, dates and times. And they're all important. But I hope that during this conference time that we are able to separate opinions and hopes from truth and promises. What we know of God, not what we think, but what we know of God. Turn to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 3, another one you know by heart. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Told you this morning that Brother Beam was my first Sunday school teacher in the Church of Christ. And he had a tough class. He had Jane Ann. I think he had both the Smiths, Belinda and Mike, Penningtons, the McGee's. Steve and Melissa in that class also. And it was a good class, and I learned a lot. Later on, went to Tony Grinzik's house once a week, and we studied for I don't know how many years. And it was a difficult bunch. Asked a lot of hard questions. Got to the core of a lot of beliefs. In this verse 15, it says, from a child, and it's talking about Timothy, that was raised believing in God by his mother and his grandmother. The Holy Scriptures. And Paul reminds him that these are there to make you wise unto salvation. Now, whether you were born into the church and raised in the church, I used to be jealous of you that were raised in the church. Well, not jealous, envious, I guess is a closer word. But what it's really talking about is when you come into the Church of Christ and make that commitment, that covenant with Jesus Christ, you are to be as a child, an heir. You take upon yourself his name. You become as a child to learn and to grow. And to the Holy Scriptures, his word, the word of his Father, make us wise unto salvation. Whether we're born physically into the church or we come spiritually into the church, the truth is still there. And it is up to us to learn and to grow and to build with the goal in mind through faith unto that salvation. Turn to 2 Peter. Second Peter, first chapter, and starting with, I think, if I can read my writing, verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. In your study this morning, there were early church fathers' names mentioned of other churches. Campbell and Wesley and Roger Campbell. And they were part of the Reformation. And it was a necessary time. It was a necessary movement because of the grip that the church, the Catholic Church, had upon the people. It had to be shaken. And those early church fathers that came out of that church, in the beginning, I believe they had the desire to return to a reformed church, to come back into that fold with changes made which brought it into alignment with Scripture, because they knew there was a great wrong within that church. And that shook the foundations. And it was necessary, that Reformation period, that as we came along later for the restoration of this Church of Christ, that power was loosed. Or it may never have got a good start, a foothold. A lot of the lands we go into today, it's difficult to establish that first foothold. And once that first foothold is established, to begin to break the traditions and the customs that have been ingrained into the people, where they too can be as a little child coming into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And it takes a long time. We've been in the Philippines for 16, going on 17 years now. And the last 3 years, I think that foothold, we've established elbow room. And it's been a tough fight. That points out to me that the Reformation was necessary for the restoration. Because what was restored was Christ's church. Not man's opinion. Not his hope, not a good thought, but the truths of God with his promises for the people. And Paul points out that what he has established is to continue after he dies. Because we're only here for a number of years. But this work will go on. The promise back in Daniel was that stone would continue on throughout time, never to be taken again. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Eyewitnesses. They bore their testimony how that they had been able to break free of custom, of tradition, and place Christ at the head of his church. And they testified of the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. They were not one. They were two separate beings. The only begotten Son of the Father. He received from the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard, and when we were with him in the Holy Mount. And what did Joseph Smith tell us this day? This is my beloved Son. Here it says, in whom I am well pleased. To Joseph Smith, he said, hear him. Listen to him. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, and when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Any of you ever been in total darkness? I see some say yes, some smile. You know what it's like to hold your hand up and you know that hand is there, but you can't see it. And it surrounds you. Joseph Smith testified that when that dark power, and he said it was a marvelous power. He used the word marvelous not to exalt it, but to show how great that power was ready to consume him. But it didn't. That's when he saw the two personages, forms that were before him. They shined out of that dark place. They dispelled the darkness. And it says, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. In this world, before coming into the Church of Christ, well, let's go back in time to when Christ walked and talked and taught and bled and died upon the earth. What did it say about the world? It was a dark place. And it said that men loved the darkness. They hid in the darkness. Their sins were hidden. And they loved it. And women too. And it's the same with us as we come into the Church of Christ. There is to be a day that dawns upon us. A day of realization that I'm lost without God, without the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, the day star arise in your hearts. What did you feel like when you came out of the water of baptism? What did you experience when hands were laid upon you? How strong, how pure, how clean, how ready for the fight did you feel? We're to be that way every day of our life. But you're like me. Yesterday I had a bad day with this dumb cold. And I'm ready to pack it up. I can't do this anymore. And I looked at all the items on the agenda for the conference that are coming up. They're all important, but until we as a people are established in our heart, what we want and why we're here and where we're headed, we're going to have problems day after day, year after year. And it's going to waste our time and energy when we could be doing so much more. I'm going to get into my sermon if I don't watch it. But that day star must arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. When you read a prophecy in the Scripture, where do you go to understand it? Well, I go talk to Alan, and I go talk to Larry. And then I go talk to you. No. Go to God. Ask Him. You have that Spirit within you that communicates with God. When you can't even pray out loud, when you're so confused, you don't even know what to pray for or against, that Spirit, that Holy Ghost, will pray for you. Intercession with the Lord Jesus Christ. And prophecies come, and they came in old time by the they came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. My agenda is not for the Church of Christ. It's mine. Prophecies. Where we should be going is the truth and the promise of God. Not man's opinion, not man's hope. Turn to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. You can shop for a church on TV, on the internet. You can find what fits your lifestyle to a T, and you will blend right in. But that's the wide gate and the broad way, and it leads to destruction. Verse 14 says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Proverbs 4, verse 18 says that the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The path of the just. If you are justified in the Lord Jesus Christ, you belong to Him. It's your path. The path of those that are justified. And it says that that path is to shine more and more. The path that you walk, that I walk, upon that path, it is to become brighter and brighter. If that day star has risen in your heart, there's no reason your light should not illumine your pathway. And it is to shine more and more unto the perfect day. What is the perfect day? Turn to 1 Nephi. First Nephi chapter 3. And verse 220. And he said unto me, behold, there are saved two churches only. One is the church of the Lamb of God. The other is the church of the devil. Talked about that in Sunday school this morning. That there will be only two churches. But how do we get from where we are now, a proliferation of churches and beliefs, the pursuit of religion to make money, to live off the sweat and the blood and the labor of the people, to where there's only two churches, Church of the Lamb, Church of the Devil. There's a sifting process going on now, a funneling process. It's happening in your life, whether you like it or not, within the church, this church of Christ, within the world, within other churches. There is a sifting and a winnowing going on. Along the way, I don't want to oversimplify it, but Christ is going to come back someday. There's going to be a millennial reign where Satan is bound for a season. When the word goes forth in truth to glean those that will believe. And you might ask, how can anyone turn their back on the Lord Jesus Christ at that time? Well, why did they turn their back today? Why is truth ignored? Why are promises put under our opinion and our hopes? But there will be a sifting process. And at the end of that time, Satan is loosed one more time. And it says, two churches, and that's all. Turn to 1 Nephi chapter 2. Verse 78. But to be short in writing, behold, he saw other multitudes pressing forward, and they came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press their way forward, continually holding fast to the rod of iron, until they came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree. That's our goal. That's where we want to be, to partake of that fruit of the tree, holding fast to that rod of iron. But 79 says, and he also saw other multitudes feeling their way towards that great and that spacious building. And it came to pass that many were drowned in the depths of the fountain, and many were lost from his view, wandering in strange roads. Proverbs 4:18, where it talks about that path of the just, it goes on and says that that path is to be bounded on the left and the right, and that we are to look straight forward towards our goal. And that goal is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. To mind where we place each foot upon that path. To mind that we not stumble and fall, wandering in strange roads. And great was the multitude that did enter into that strange building. And after they did enter into that building, they did point the finger of scorn at me, and those that were partaking of the fruit also, but we heeded them not. Focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. A covenant between yourself and your God. What others think is of no importance. They can't, they should not be able to dissuade you from your path. Well, you might say, well, it's family. It's friends. It's loved ones. Okay. It's going to happen. And it came to pass that after my father had spoken all the words of his dream and his vision, and you'll notice in 85 that Laman and Lemuel partook not of the fruit that the father talked about, that Lehi talked about. Came to pass that after my father had spoken all the words of his dream or vision, which were many, he said unto us, because of these things which he saw in a vision, he exceedingly feared for Laman and Lemuel. Yea, he feared lest they should be cast off from the presence of the Lord. And he did exhort them, then with all the feeling of a tender parent, that they would hearken to his word, that perhaps the Lord would be merciful to them and not cast them off. Yea, my father did preach unto them. And after he had preached unto them, and also prophesied unto them, he bade them to keep the commandments of the Lord. And he did cease speaking unto them. He'd done all he could. As an earthly father, as a minister, preaching the word of God to his son, ultimately it is the choice of family, friends, loved ones. It's their choice. I'm not saying we should shun them, forget about them, not love them, but pray for them. Hope for them. Reach out to them, but it is their choice. Turn to Alma, the third chapter. Alma 3:27. Now behold, I ask of you, my brethren of the church, have ye spiritually been born of God? Have ye received his image in your countenance? Have ye experienced this mighty change in your heart? Do you exercise faith in the redemption of him who created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith and view this mortal body raised in immortality and this corruption raised in incorruption to stand before God to be judged according to the deeds which have been done in your mortal body? That's the perfect day. Before that judgment bar, to be judged. And if you and I qualify, our sister offered a beautiful song this day. It had a message for each of us. And it moved each and every one here. Think about the Lord Jesus Christ and his Father, and the Holy Ghost that resides within you. All they want is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. That's the beauty you bring to them. I can't sing worth a lick, but yet I can have beauty before my Creator, and you can too. The beauty of our choice to love Him with all that we are, our heart, our might, our mind, strength, our soul. It's all he wants. Everything else is immaterial. I thank you for your patience and your time. I've been promised lots of good food. I look forward to that. I look forward to talking and fellowshipping with each of you. I look forward to a continued walk with each of you along that straight and that narrow path to that perfect day. And I thank you.
Which are at my home. Here again, he was making an excuse. I will go, but just let me say goodbye to my family. What did Christ say that if you believe in Father or hold better your father or your mother or your brother or sister above me, you're not worthy of me? You'll have to read that scripture. I've kind of bumbled it up, but that gives you the idea. Verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, now this is what Christ said in reply to the man that said, I must go and bid farewell to my family. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Folks, we have put our hand to the plow. I used to relate that to just ministry, but I don't think so. I think that covers anybody that, as Vicky sang in the song, they call us by the name of Christians. Anybody that has joined the kingdom of God, and we have put our hand to the plow, and we cannot look back and say, well, you know, I've got to do this first, or I've got to do that first. Like I said, when you stand before God, there is no excuse that you can give him. He won't accept it because he knows how you felt and what you thought at the time that you was making those excuses. I was going to read to you, Aaron ought to be calling any minute. I was going to read to you the story about Lot and his wife, when the angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah to get Lot because Abraham asked him to do that and to rescue rescue Lot and his wife. Well, it consisted of Lot and his wife and two daughters. Well, I'm not going to get into all the story. There's a lot of stuff there that happened. But anyhow, the angel said,